So I'm driving down Highway 28. You know the scene, you can see the mountains off in the distance and the sky has turned blue. And I'm in a kind of a spirit of prayer. My prayer has been and is the same as it's been for months. Sometimes I pray the prayer, Lord, where do you want me to lead this church? And then a better prayer comes up, Lord, what is your will for this church? And maybe I'd be more in line with that. And that's kind of been where we have been for some time here at College Street Baptist Church. Now, many of you know that Ray Conway is a member of the Singing Churchmen, and that they are a group of guys that have traveled and been on missions, and they sing around the state, and they've just come back from another great mission trip. And Ray's been one of the officers there, and I know in talking with them and seeing them and knowing where they're coming from, we're an anomaly. We're different. Ray uses a term that he and I are dinosaurs. I'm probably the uglier one of the two, you know. But we're dinosaurs when it comes to leading churches in worship and our experiences. You're not going to find many orchestras anymore in churches our size and especially smaller. You're not going to find a worship team that can sing like this group that was standing here. Every time you sing up here, and I get the worship and the praise team mixed up, but every time that group sings, I think I'm listening to a recording. They're so good. Now, you're not going to find really pastors that will play with the orchestra when I can't play an instrument. The kazoo's about as good as I can get. But going bantering back and forth, you're not going to experience some of the things that we do here. But I still prayed and have been and continue to pray. And my prayer is not for a program, because programs are endless. They're there. You can buy a program in a box, and it'll tell you exactly what to do. You don't even have to pray. Just fill in the blanks, put in the videos, go down the street, and you got it. I wasn't looking for an event that I'd sell you a bunch of books in. We do that all the time in Crosswalk and on Sunday nights. It's just part of who we are. I wasn't looking for another event like I do on Wednesday nights where I give you a handout and you fill in the blanks. I wasn't looking for a fundraiser. Do you know that I get by email and phone calls at least one or two a month? There are companies out there just dying to help us raise money. For a fee, of course, for them. And I just say, no, thank you. I wasn't even looking for another outreach program. There's Don, I've got all your stuff there. I went through all that stuff, and I'm going, and nothing, just nothing rose up to the top. And I'm sitting here going, Lord, help me, I'm desperate. A few months ago, I began just Googling terms, and thinking and praying, and one term led to the next, and I remembered this thing called church renewal, lay renewal, and I know that within our South Carolina Baptist Convention, we're experiencing massive changes. What we have today is nothing like what we had even 10 years ago. I know this is a lay renewal program that we're talking about entering into and are sharing and praying about, but we always seem to have somebody at the state level that could at least point us in the right direction, and we don't have that anymore. We've gone from 125 employees to 62, and as I understand it, the goal of these new leaders is to take it to 30, and that we're supposed to be able to do what we've always done if the churches will step up. Well, they might have a point there. I don't know. I'm in the old guard. I'm a dinosaur. I'm irrelevant when it comes to these young guys and darkening the windows and putting up strobe lights and having indoor fireworks. And that's just to introduce the pastor. You know, you get the picture. It's a new world we live in. It really is. But then I was led to the North American Mission Board site. What you and I that are a little bit of age used to call the Home Mission Board, it's now the North American Mission Board. And on that site, there was a link to church renewal, not just lay renewal. And having watched on that site some videos several times over, praying about it, sharing about it, I went on there and I typed in a request. Now, I'll be honest with you, Bob. I didn't think I'd hear from anybody for at least a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month. I thought it was one of those things you fill in there and I'm going to get a phone call and start hearing about how much it's going to cost and what I got to do and all that. But overnight, you responded to me by email immediately and then made a phone call. And then we've had, of course, I lose stuff. I lost his email, lost his phone number. Had to go back online on that same site. Says, help me find Bob Foy. Get a phone call from Bob and get back in line. And we began to talk and share and pray. Bob Foy is here today representing our North American Mission Board. Y'all live where in North Carolina? Mooresville, above Charlotte. And he's also associated with the North Carolina Baptist Convention. I learned something this morning down in the Sunday school hour that I didn't know. He's not a preacher. Never would have had him in my pulpit. Didn't know that. You know, it's a lay renewal process. It's got to be led by a preacher. Wrong. It's not. Okay, Randy, I saw that. And so it's just with a great deal of prayer that I introduce to you Bob Foy, his wife Phyllis. I learned their names. That's an inside joke. And they're here today. He told me I'll be here at 8:30. I've got my motel lined up. I'll be there. It's not going to cost you a thing. I drive up at 8:05 and he's already half set up. You know, he's early. Did you hear that, Ray? Early. Oh, sorry. Hear that, Ken? Early. And we're just really, really happy. And he has some things that he wants to share with us briefly this morning. We had a great time. We didn't have enough time in Sunday school hour. And so, Bob, you come now. Share what's on your heart. Take as much time as you need, as you want, or are led to. And then I'll come back up with some closing remarks. God bless you.
In lay renewal, we have a motto that we say. I want you to say this after me, okay? If I make myself available to the Lord, I'll find myself in strange and unusual places. That's our motto. We found out that if you say yes to God, He's going to put you in some places you have no idea where it's going to be. Not that you are strange and unusual. I didn't mean that. But for me to be here. My director of missions asked me one day, he said, Bob, would you bring the annual sermon at our associational meeting? I said, man, I don't do sermons. I'm a layperson, not a preacher. And I said, well, wait a minute, though. I've heard enough sermons. I said, my pastor does sermons all the time. And he always picks a letter, and each thought that he gives starts with that letter. What's that called? There's a name for that. Literate. I said, well, I can do that. So I picked a letter. Picked the letter E, and me and my wife were sitting there waiting for us to call us up there. And she looked over at my notes, and I had picked the letter E, and I had excited, encouraged, and involved. She said, honey, she said, Bob, she said, lay renew. I mean, involved don't start with an E. So from there to here, I had to change. What I changed to is back to my testimony. I don't have a sermon. I could just tell you what God's done in my life. God wants to do something in every one of our lives. And He is a powerful God, can do some awesome things. One of the toughest things in the world to do. How many of y'all have ever been on a mission trip? And you take all the pictures you want to, and you come back and try to explain it, and you got to be there. You got to experience it, you know. Lay renewal is a lot like that. It's a process of awakening the lay people in the church to the fact that God wants to do something powerful through you. He works through your pastor, but that's not the only person. He's uniquely equipped each one of you. And the idea of the lay renewal is to awaken the congregation to that Holy Spirit that wants to move. Excuse me. And then we have several weekends the church can decide and go follow through. It is a discipleship process. And each weekend kind of builds on the other weekend. And you can space them about how far apart you want them. It doesn't matter. It's how far you want to go through there. I was telling you about the first and second weekend. There is a third weekend called the commissioning weekend. In the commissioning weekend, we talk about how God has called all of us. And on Saturday night, we ask, who would be willing to be commissioned by your church as a missionary, not from the North American Mission Board or the International Mission Board, but from your church as a missionary back into your marketplace where you spend your other 6 days? And Saturday night, we have a commitment. See, who would do that? Sunday morning, we have a full-fledged commissioning service where we commission church members back into the marketplace. We were down in Waxhaw, North Carolina, right below Charlotte. And the chairman of deacons was one of the ones. They had 75 people that stepped forward in that particular church. There's only 25 people left. And the 25 people came down and laid hands on the 75 that we were commissioning. But the chairman of deacons was one of the ones that was commissioned. He went back to the same job he had worked at for 18 years. And at 9 o'clock, he witnessed to his secretary who worked with him for 15 years, but he had never told her about Jesus. She accepted Jesus Christ that morning. He did the typical lay thing, probably what you or I would do too. He called his pastor and said, you're not going to believe what happened. He's so excited, screaming and hollering, and said she accepted Christ and just went on and on and told him about that. And then he made the statement I think that most lay people would make. He said, I thought if God called me, he would call me where? China, Africa. He said, I never thought that God would call me where he's already got me placed. People, you're missionaries of God. Wherever God's got you placed, this guy here will probably never get to be there if the way that you're there. And God can use each one of us in the places he's got. We're not just accidentally there. God has placed you there, and he wants to work through you there. One of the things that's the hardest thing for me to do is I can't explain what the Holy Spirit does. I can try and try and try and explain, but you can't put it in paper, and I can't say it. You got to experience it. I asked the North Carolina convention. I said, we're doing a renewal at a church here in High Point. I said, is there any chance you could send a film crew there? And I thought maybe a video of something would help. So they sent a film crew there, and I told the film crew, I said, I know what God does on a renewal. Use a long lens. I don't want to affect anybody or scare anybody away. I don't want to start what God does. So they agreed to do that. The church agreed to let the video be made. This is not a rehearsal. It's actually the weekend's going on. They're experiencing the weekend for the first time. In fact, the pastor didn't have any idea what it was about. He was really kind of scared, too, about a bunch of lay people coming into the church. But they made the video, and what I'd like to do is show the video and see if by any chance the video can help you understand what God does on a renewal. This pastor didn't know what a renewal was either, and I think it's kind of really interesting to hear him explain.
Back in 1968, I've come to know the Lord as my Savior in a lay renewal weekend. It's still just as real today as it was in November of 1968.
There's a breeze stirring. I can feel it on my face. And I know what's coming.
Just weren't sure about what lay renewal was and what it was going to bring to our church, and so we really didn't know what to expect.
How many have no earthly idea why you're here tonight?
But last night when we gathered together in the worship center and began to see the faces of the people who were there, I was just overjoyed with what was taking place.
Our church before lay renewal was just your typical church doing church. There was life. We were baptizing people. We were reaching people. but it just wasn't being the church that I felt like and the people actually felt like it ought to be.
This weekend, I've seen that other people are saying, we really want unity. We really want to know each other, get to know each other. And I think this weekend is helping to bring that about.
This is a vehicle that God has anointed that impacts entire lives, because it's not a program, it's a mindset change. That it's, I'm going to be all I can be for God. And it's so powerful because it impacts the lay people and releases them to do ministry.
Every church, no matter how big or small, if they undertake the lay renewal, they're going to have 12, 13, 14, 15 different tasks that are done as part of that lay renewal.
There's the prayer team, the facilities team, that the facilities team actually would take care of making sure all the meeting rooms are in proper order, make sure the sound system's working. And so each team has a different task to make the weekend come about.
And that includes coming up with the coffee host for the Saturday morning coffees. It includes coming up with the homes that will house the visiting team member. There's publicity for the event. There's coming up with the food for the event, because food, meals shared together are a very big part of the weekend. We're really fortunate to have a great group of visiting team members. And it's interesting, as we get to know them, they come from all walks of life.
Coming from Louisiana and just having a call to be a part of the team in North Carolina, was all, God just opened all them doors for us to be here. And to, He made the funds available and the opportunities available to us. And if He can do that, then all I got to do is give Him my time.
One of the reasons I'm here this weekend is because I know how we do it in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. I want to see how the folks in North Carolina do it.
Their testimonies are powerful and have impact, because like us, they're going through struggles and they've overcome difficulties. And in spite of those difficulties, they're ministering.
And so as a team member, I come prepared to just allow God to work through me. I come with no agenda other than His. And so we just try to be open and receptive to what He wants to do through us.
How many of you are housing someone tonight, by the way? Okay, now let me say something to you that you need to understand. Even if you've met them, you still have to take them home. Okay?
In today's world, we just seem to be so busy. And as a result of that, we don't take the time necessary to sit down and talk about our lives. And the lay renewal has provided that opportunity for us just to sit back and to listen, not to feel rushed, not to feel like we're on some specific agenda, but that we're coming together to be able to talk about the things that God is doing in our lives.
Certainly, revivals are fantastic, our traditional revivals, but when you get people in a small group where they can sit down eye to eye and share who they are and what their heart is and what they desire for themselves and for their church and where they sense the Holy Spirit working, there's a connection that's formed. And the Spirit uses that to birth new things, I believe, in a congregation and also in individuals' lives.
I got to know some people that I didn't. I seen them walk down the hall and I really didn't know that they're hurting just like I am. A man that I sang in the choir with, stand beside him at times, but I didn't know that he was really hurting, and he expressed this last night.
Usually, just about every small group that I've been in, there's been at least a prayer concern or something that needed to be shared at that very moment, and we stop at that very moment and pray for that specific need.
So often in the hallway at church, someone tells us something that they want us to pray for, and we say, I'll pray for you, and we walk away. We never pray, or we forget to pray. We have good intentions, but how wonderful to affirm that person that we cared enough to pray right then.
Encourage one another daily. Hebrews 3:14.
You might think it's just about the adults, but it is designed to involve the whole family. We have lessons for the preschoolers. We have activities for the children. The youth have turned it into a real discipling time for the youth for that weekend.
Go God! Go God! Go God!
The youth in our church really experienced a great revival, which they needed very much. And the weekend was just meant for them, I feel like, too.
I think as the weekend develops, you know, people come on Friday night with some apprehension about what to expect and everything. But I think as they begin to genuinely see the Holy Spirit begin to work through their fellow members, through people that they don't know, that they suddenly catch a vision of what it could be like if we would but also embrace that.
I think the other thing that has been a pleasant surprise has been the fact that how focused we have become in a relatively short period of time, focused on the things of God, focused upon who the person of Christ is, the fact that God desires to do a fresh work in our midst and in our fellowship, the fact that God's calling us to get beyond ourselves, to look to the community and to look to others and recognize that everybody has a story and they need to have the opportunity to tell that story.
I think that since the lay renewal, there's been a stronger connectedness between people, even greater care outside the church walls.
We are perhaps in one of the last great revival movements, and I believe that this vehicle called Lay Renewal or Church Renewal Journey is the cutting edge of that revival, the reawakening of the lay people in the churches that will empower them to affect their communities and their homes. It's not the building, it's the people.
And it's not just about the weekend, it's about what we anticipate is going to happen as a result of the weekend. And so I would encourage pastors to prayerfully consider and to explore the possibilities of getting involved in Lay Renewal Weekend, and then just asking God really what He wants to do through the life of the church.
It's not about Green Street. It's not about this team. It's about Jesus. It's about what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do.
I believe that God wants to take every church to a new level of spiritual maturity, and He can use Lay Renewal to do that.
The idea of the Church Renewal Journey, it's by the lay people. The pastor does not really have a major job other than to pray for and encourage your lay people as they prepare the church for the weekend. And the idea of the usually the revival type event breaks out way before the weekend is set. The church would say, okay, we're going to set a date. If you decide to do that, we'll set a date, and then we'll back up 8 to 10 weeks, and we'll come and train your committees how to go that. And the idea of me speaking to you is we want you to take ownership of it. It's not something your pastor's pushing on you. We can't do it without the pastor's okay, but the idea is we want the congregation to take ownership of it. Most of the time when we have a renewal like this, you have far greater attendance than you would have on a normal revival. Many times a revival is pastor staff down, but on a lay renewal, a congregation up. We bring a music leader, we bring a youth leader, a children's leader, a preschool leader, and then we'll bring one adult team member for every 8 adults that you think you may be here. That's kind of how the team is together. Nobody gets paid a dime. They come at their own expense. The biggest cost to the church is the meals. And in our church, we had a donation box and covered the cost of the meals. So it's not an expense item. It's just planning an event for the Holy Spirit to come to move among us. Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, the team goes home. Sunday night, the church comes together. Probably one of the greatest Holy Spirit movements that I've ever been in was at my church. We started, I said somewhat earlier, we started at 6 o'clock, 9:45. One of the guys hollered out, we can't stay in here all night long. So we closed it in the sanctuary, picked back up in the parking lot, went to 10:45. Hugging, healing, God's people coming together unbelievably. And it happens at every church we go to. We don't bring the Holy Spirit. The church stirs Him up. If the church wants to do that, we have that little card that you can say yes, no, or maybe, and then we'll decide from that point. Okay.
I know Bobby Dellinger.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bobby and I go back 30 years, quite a ways. He's as old as I am, and he still looks like a kid. I want to just share with you, and this is a brief, from Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. As I've prayed, I was taken back to this very simple passage of Scripture, and these are the thoughts that came to my mind. Church renewal is a heart decision. If we try to make this decision in our minds, then the world will say, you don't have time. There's too much more to do, and you're busy. But he says it'll prolong your life many days when we make right decisions. It will bring us peace when we make right decisions. And those right decisions start in our heart. And it says it'll also bring us prosperity. That's in that passage of Scripture. Right decision. It's a heart issue with us. Church renewal is also a personal decision. I can't make it for you, and I can't make it for the church. You think I have too much authority here. We have to make this decision together. I shared with church council. I've shared with the deacons. We will go back to church council today. We've had Sunday school, as many as that would come down there. This is a decision we will make together. Please take the card. If you don't have a card, get a card before you leave and fill it out. Put it on the podium out there, bring it down here, give it to me, give it to Ray. But please share your thought about this process. It's a personal decision where we put love first. We change things around. And he says, write it on our heart and find favor in the sight of God. It's also a faith decision. It's not just a personal decision, but it's a step of faith for me, for us, to lead into this. And you heard him say, I'm not going to lead this. God is. We enter into it. It'll be a God thing. That's all I've been praying for. That's all I desire. That's all I seek. And finally, I think it's a correct decision. I do believe we need to move forward. It will bring us back to the right paths. It will bring us back to the narrow way. It will bring us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We've gotten off path. We're off track. Just look at America. Look at the news. Look what's happening around us. I'm not just talking about College Street Baptist Church. I'm talking about our United States of America. We've forgotten even which path to go on and what direction to turn. God can take control, though. He can take control, and He can move us back to the right path, in the right direction, and be glorified again, not only in our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, but He can be glorified in our schools. He can be glorified in our courtrooms. He can be glorified at the gas pump. He can be glorified when we go to the restaurant. He can be glorified again in our lives. I'm challenged again because this is about the 10th time since January I've heard of someone who's gone to the restaurant and said, by the way, what is your name? How can we pray for you? We do it sometimes. We don't do it sometimes. But we ought to be doing it all the time. We must rebuke the notion that we can control this. But we must accept the thought. And that's why I call this a church renewal thought. That if I will submit myself to whatever God chooses to do in this process, that He will give us the answers. He will speak to our hearts. He will make something happen here that maybe we haven't experienced in almost 30 years. Almost, maybe a lifetime. and He can prepare us as a church for our own future. So what I want to do to close is this. I told you it's brief. I'm going to ask two or three people, if they're willing, they'll just stand right where they are and voice the prayer that's on your heart right now. This is how I want to close. This is our moment of decision. This is the invitation. It's to pray. Suzanne will begin. Tracy will continue. Monty will end it. Would you pray? Now, I'll close us. If someone chooses to pray after that, you can. Would you join us as we pray? Let's stand. Let's hold hands across the aisle. But this is our closing prayer. And if you truly mean, when you get to that second, that last verse, we're just singing the first and the last, then sing it like you mean it. Sing it not to me or to one another, but to God. And this will be our closing for this day. Give you two challenges as you walk out these doors. One is that you won't stop praying this prayer about renewal. That this will so grip you that it doesn't leave you. That by the time we make the decision, we'll know it's the decision to make. That's the challenge. But also, we don't have to wait for a decision to be made to make a difference in our workplace, at the grocery store, in whatever school we go to. And so the second challenge is to say, Lord, I know I'm scared. I know I've not done this. I know I'm afraid. But if you'll show me and put the words in my mouth, I'll be faithful. I will. God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss, we fall at your face. We fall at your feet and we beg you, Lord, lead our hearts in this church into this 21st century that's just so wrapped up in itself, and help us unwrap it and give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.